Two news items this week involving celebrities show how unrestrained anger destroys. There's this popular local showbiz personality, a TV host, who landed in jail because he asked for it and then posted bail, and the reason is because of drunken tantrum. In the U.S., a popular football star was caught in video beating his wife unconscious in the elevator, and the video was uploaded on the internet. It went viral. Now that star is banned from the NFL, that is the National Football League of the United States. Anger is almost always in the context of conflict. And when conflict is ill-managed, it destroys. Ang galit ay malimit na nasa konteksto ng sigalot. At kapag ang sigalot ay hindi natin nahawakan ng maayos, ito ay nakapipinsala, nakakasira. Even in church, conflicts are unavoidable. But scriptures give principles for their management. And the story around 2 Corinthians, the letter of Paul, is a model of managing a serious conflict. Ang sulat ni Pablo sa ikalawang Korinto ay modelo, huwaran kung paano hawakan, pangasiwaan ang isang seryosong sigalot. It led to restoration. What we have seen is that the majority of the church repented when confronted, and in the process now of restoration, that is the first part, we have seen the latter part of the second letter to the Corinthians dealing with a minority who remained opposed to the Apostle Paul. And we are in that section where Paul is making comparison and contrast with the ministry of his opponents, whom he called the super apostles. The comparison stands on biblical language. He uses language such as new covenant, law versus gospel, eternal versus passing, external versus the internal. And the superiority of Paul's ministry is not in who he is, but in what he proclaims. And he reveals the attitude and spirit in conducting one's ministry in contrast with the super apostles. And we are now here in chapter 4. Paul has just answered the anticipated objection of his opponents. Why are still many in unbelief under your ministry? Yan ang kanilang ginagawang pagtatanong para mag-alinlangan kay Pablo. Bakit marami pa rin ang hindi nananampalataya sa ilalim ng iyong ministeryo? Sinagot siya ni Apostle Pablo, verses 3 and 4, explains that satanic blinding of unbelievers creates barriers to the light of the gospel. It is not in any weakness in the gospel of the Apostle Paul. The blindness of sinners is because of the blinding of Satan. And then he explains in verses 5 and 6, in order to contrast the message, Paul spells out, defines what his message is and how he responds as a servant to this message. We saw last week, proclaiming the powerful message of the gospel requires decided servanthood. This afternoon, we shall focus on just one text, and it is one of my own personal favorite to explain the ministry, chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. This is a guiding text to me in defining the ministry of the word. This is still part of how Paul describes the attitude of decided servanthood. Bahagi pa rin ito ng pagpapaliwanag ni Pablo kung bakit meron tayo dapat diwa ng isang lingkod, diwa ng isang naglilingkod sa Panginoon. And it tells us something of the words of the message that should breed the attitude of the messenger. Let me summarize the message this way. The messenger's consciousness of frailty highlights the power of the message. Ang kamalayan ng tagapagdala ng mensahe ng kanyang karupukan ay pinatitingkad ang kapangyarihan ng mensahe. The messenger's consciousness of frailty highlights the power of the message. The two belong together. Just as in verses 5 and 6 we saw last week, it defines the message, but at the same time, it describes the messenger. So here, It cannot be one without the other. God chose that His message be spoken by His messengers, and those messengers, whether we talk of individuals or we talk of the corporate identity of the church, the messenger must yield a certain spirit in order for the message to be powerful. So let us look at two things here. First, consciousness of frailty, ang kamalayan ng karupukan, consciousness of frailty, and excellence of power, ang kainaman ng kapangyarihan, excellence of power. Again, two things that go together. The first is consciousness of frailty. He uses here the imagery of jars as containers of things. This was part of any ordinary household in a Roman society. Things of little value are kept in cheap jars, cheap containers. Because when you lose the content together with the container, it means little. But the precious materials such as jewelries are expected to be kept in expensive jars and put in more inaccessible places. Yung mga mumurahin lang sa mga sisidlan na gawa sa clay, sa lupa. Samantalang ang mga mamahalin, inilalagay sa mga mas mamahalin na mga sisidlan. But now, in God's arrangement of His own treasure, He does something what no housekeeper would do. The treasure that has no equal is put in cheap clay. That is what Paul is saying. The preciousness of the gospel message breeds lowliness in its messengers. And that is the point of teaching. Ang kahalagahan ng mensahe ng ebanghelyo ay dapat luminang ng kababaang loob sa mga tagapagdala ng mensaheng ito. Clay jar is an apt imagery because clay is abundant, things made of clay are cheap and disposable. What would be put in them would be things that are like them, cheap and disposable. But for the valuable ones, the preferred jars are those of bronze, and for the rich, even silver and gold. The value of the content is appropriately reflected by the container. And archaeologists, when they dig, most of the extracts of the past are potteries. Those made of clay are just pulverized. It is those made of bronze and silver and gold that are well preserved. And they help in the research of archaeologists. If a housekeeper were to put valuable jewelries into a clay jar, if the jar could speak, it would say, "No, not me. That's not for me." And that captures what Paul is trying to say. Such a treasure as the gospel, the reaction should be, "Why me?" There's the sense of unworthiness. The super apostles, on the other hand, are a group of big heads. They brag a lot about their credentials. And Paul will bring this out later in this letter. The super apostles betray the facts that they do not have the message of the gospel. They do not sense its treasure, and it is reflected in their pride. It is reflected in their boasting. Paul knows his message. He has just described it in terms of God's power displayed in creation. The same God who called light into existence in creation now is doing it in darkened minds through the gospel. Do you imagine what this is really saying? Let's make a hypothetical possibility. Hypothetically, imagine you were there on the first day of creation and God, about to speak His command, "Let there be light," approached you and tells you, "My child, I am going to utter the fiat creating light, but I will entrust the word in your keeping." Can you imagine that? Would you not be astounded, tremble at the thought that God's fiat of let there be light is going to be put in your hand for your keeping, for your entrusting? Now, something of that, and in fact with greater implications, is the idea of being entrusted with the gospel. This is what every man in the gospel ministry should sense of himself, a clay jar with a treasure. This is what a church with a gospel mission should sense of itself. We are but clay jars with a treasure. If you're following the current FIBA World Cup, baka tumigil na kayo manood matapos ang gilas, pero tuloy pa yan. Mamayang gabi or bukas ng umaga sa atin dito ang championship USA versus Serbia. Now, one thing I noticed is that they are good teams when they play and they can beat other teams. But every team that is competing with the United States is blown away. It really shows the superiority of the United States. And to think that they did not even send their best players. What does that show? With inferiors, you think you're good. With real superiors, they're blown away. And when you think of the gospel, brethren, we should be blown away. We may think we are educated, we have credentials, we have everything that will show us superior to other people. But my brother, my sister, when you know really what the gospel is and what it took to conceive, complete, fulfill the gospel, we should be blown away. Kung alam mo ang ebanghelyo, kung paano ito pinlano, kung paano ito isinakatuparan at tinupad ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo, ikaw ba'y tumanggap na sa ebanghelyo? Ikaw ba'y tumugon na sa ebanghelyo? Alam mo ba kung gaano ito kahalaga at ipinagkakaloob at iniaalok sa iyo ng Diyos? Now, the challenge to us is identify every form of pride as a messenger of the gospel by pondering on the treasure of the gospel. Tanggalin natin ang lahat ng anyo ng pagmamataas bilang tagapagdala ng mensahe sa pagbubulay natin sa kadakilaan ng ebanghelyo. Do you know this treasure? The first form of lowliness as a response to the treasure of the gospel is repentance. Have you repented of your sin? Have you come to Christ for forgiveness of your sins? Now, this is the gospel entrusted to us, one that spells the difference between light and darkness. And this is often a good measure to weigh whether a ministry possesses the right message or not. If there is pride that radiates, it is a likely measure, a likely indication that he does not know the gospel. Or even delineating the difference between a ministry with maturity and one that is immature, a person may know the gospel and yet pride can still tinker with his motives. That's why Paul was very careful when he told Timothy the qualifications for ministry. Among others, he said, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, a good message will not spare a conceited messenger. That message should mature the bearer of the message. And one evidence of maturity is he mortifies pride. I have led Grace Ministerial Academy for more than 18 years now, and I have encountered many such young men, upstarts who perhaps learned a thing or two about the gospel and about doctrines, and pride oozes from their personalities. But it is not just ministers who grapple with the spirit of pride. In your own spirit, you too do struggle with pride. And we live in a culture of pride and arrogance. Self-confidence building seminars are big business. Whatever place that has in sales, in management, in business, that has no place in the gospel ministry. We need to be a church where the prevailing spirit is a sense of unworthiness for such a treasure. When Martin Luther died, there was a note seen in his pocket. And among the notes says, "We are beggars. That is all we are." Now, Martin Luther, as a theologian, knows all things of the privileges of a believer as heir of life, as child of God, and has written about those things. But then ultimately, when we really come to think of it, we are beggars in the sense that we do not deserve anything until God in grace has given it. What place is there for pride? Nothing. So the messenger must be conscious of his frailty. He is a clay jar. But then secondly, we have here excellence of power. The reason of God for doing what no housekeeper will do, put treasure in a clay jar, is given by Paul. He says, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Upang maipakita na ang umaapaw na kapangyarihan ay nakbibilang sa Diyos, hindi sa atin. And there's the danger. When you think of yourself as bronze or silver or gold, it will not reflect upon God. But the gospel message must reflect the power of God Himself. The message of the super apostles requires display of their great credentials and power. Some messages today will need every bit of power in the messenger himself. They may reflect his great education or political influence or his comic ability to make people laugh, perhaps his dramatic flair to make people cry. But people are at his fingertips because he is eloquent. And that is how they secure their followers or their loyalists. They get beholden to the messenger. Other messages that are preached today require the display of institutional power, be it a church or organization. But you see, the gospel message is such that even the Apostle Paul felt like clay jar. As a Pharisee, we know the story of Paul. He had every qualification that sets him apart from other Pharisees in training under Gamaliel, in his roots, Benjaminite, and many other things that raised him higher than other Pharisees. But when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and was entrusted with his gospel, he felt like clay jar, not the educated Pharisee of Tarsus. I am an advocate of a well-trained ministry, and you know that. I believe knowledge and gifts must be polished for the ministry. But when you appreciate the gospel and what is at stake concerning sinners, you will feel likewise as Paul. Your education, your training, and the best of abilities will never open the eyes of Satan-blinded sinners. It takes God, and in his wisdom, he chose to put this treasure of the gospel in clay jars like you and me, so that those who see the fruits will not say, "What a great messenger," but they will say, "What a glorious God that gospel is." It should be like during a total eclipse, the moon is reduced to a shadow, and around it is the shining corona of the sun. And that should what gospel preaching must be. You're just a shadow. And around you, the glory of God. May our church be like that. May those who bear the message be like that. And that means, as a challenge, depend absolutely upon God for the fruitfulness of the gospel message. Dapat tayong umasang buong-buo sa Diyos lamang para sa pamumunga ng mensahe ng Ebanghelyo. Yes, we have the means, we rightly organize, use the resources we have, and the gifts. But without God, they are clay. Unless from His almighty throne, He gives the command, let there be light, we are clay jars that will still stare sinners in their darkness of mind. And admitting that we are but clay jars means an admission of our unworthiness, that we are not deserving, and that runs against our proud instincts. Why do we get envious? Because we believe we deserve better than others. But think of the glory of the gospel, and we just sang, to wonders I confess, the wonders of His glorious love and my own worthlessness. You cannot confess the glorious love in the gospel without at the same time that response of utter unworthiness before God, that He should entrust us with this treasure. When you have those opportunities of bearing the message, prayer to God should never be ritual. It should be the very breath of your utter dependence upon God, from preaching to one-on-one conversation. It is when there is that sense of dependence that God delights to give fruit to His word. Because where the spirit of dependence pervades, there God will get the glory, as He should. But let a man or a church become self-conscious that as a jar, he is not clay but bronze or gold or silver. God may withhold His light creating power or may totally withdraw from such a ministry because He is not honored. And may it not come to that in our church or in our ministry. What is said of salvation, that it depends on God's mercy totally, is certainly true of the means to salvation. Romans 9:16, so then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. So let the excellence of the power of the message radiate on God through a servant who is clay jar. And that servant will learn to pray and pray in such a way that God's power radiates on the ministry of His word. A few days from now, Scotland will have its referendum, and the people will decide whether to sever ties from England and form an independent state. We have a Scots tutor in GMA, and he's totally opposed to separation. He wants to continue the union, which is now almost 500 years, and to retain the United Kingdom rather than separate states of England and Scotland. But whatever happens, Scotland's story of reformation will remain one of the most inspiring. And one of the leaders of Scottish Reformation in the 16th century is John Knox. And he was chased almost all his life by who is known in history, Mary, Queen of Scots. And yet, at one frustrating moment, Mary, Queen of Scots, was heard to confess, I fear more the prayer of John Knox than all the armies of Europe. She felt its power. And perhaps the most famous prayer of John Knox is, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. That's the sort of prayer that we want to be able to radiate from our ministries. A prayer that believes in the power of God. But the more you glory in the beauty and power of the message, one response that should radiate from us is as we will sing as our last hymn, "Not My Deserving." Close in prayer. Nakilala naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, nawa nga ay tunay na mapahayag namin ng may kataimtiman kung anong ipinahayag ni Apostol Pablo ukol sa ministeryo, na ang kayamanan ng mensahe ng Ebanghelyo ay inilagay sa mga tagapagdala ng mensahe na mga babasaging sisidlan, mga marurupok na sisidlan lamang, at hindi kami mga ginintuan at pilak, ngunit niloob mo na sa ganitong paraan ay mapahayag ang kapangyarihan ng Ebanghelyo. Indeed, it is our confession as we sang, it is not our deserving, yet because of your abundant grace, we came to know salvation out of your sheer mercy. And now, we are even entrusted with this treasure of the gospel. And when we realize the implications of this, it is like being entrusted with that fiat of creation, "Let there be light." And our response is, why us? We are undeserving. We are but clay jars. And yet precisely, it is in this spirit that you want your messengers to retain lowliness and humility in the context of the greatness and preciousness of the message that we bear. And it is according to your purpose to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And may that ever be our desire and our labor to cultivate in our individual souls, in our corporate life as a church. We want your glory to be manifested through the fruitfulness of the gospel, and grant, O Lord, that we may truly know absolute dependence upon you. Whatever place confidence may have in our own vocations and field, it has no place. No place for self-confidence in the gospel. We absolutely depend upon you, and may it translate into humble prayer that will be able to hold the power of your throne and apply the gospel to sinners so that their blinded minds may be opened and they awake to the light of salvation. May you continue to prosper the ministry of this church to that end. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.